At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. We've got the Blackpool Combat Club destroying everybody. We've got Ricochet slaying the Beast, and Adam Page still on the warpath. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by George Hermosa and special guest Flobo Boyce. Flobo, thank you so much for joining us on a Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy Corderas was hanging out in Greece. He gave me the call. I said, thank you so much. Why are you calling me Collect? Anyway, I am here for Dynamite Action.
Called you Collect. Again, usually here at Wrestling Inc., most of our correspondence goes through the seashell, which is found in the Wrestling Inc. meadow. That you blow upon when someone is called. Yeah. What a seashell is doing in a meadow, I don't know. I don't know the magical properties of Wrestling Inc. Island. But George Hermosa, reading about Justin Roberts, who was not in the office today. Hopefully everything's okay with him. But how are you doing?
Want to do something cool?
No.
Right there.
That is pretty cool.
Thanks for saying hello at Coldstone. Follow your dreams, Justin Roberts.
Wait, so you ran into him at Coldstone and you had his book with you?
When I worked at Coldstone in 2004, he stopped in, and me being the wrestling fan that I am, I marked out for him. I was like, oh my God, you're Justin Roberts, blah, 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 you know? And then so when he said his book was coming out, he's like, oh, guess what, I'm writing a book. I tweeted at him. I'm like, hey, do you have the time where I ran into you or where I helped you at Coldstone Creamery that one time? And then he like responds like, oh my God, I remember that. And then we started DMing each other. Now we're best friends. No, we're not best friends, but I ran into him at a Championship Wrestling Hollywood taping like 6 years ago or so, before the Jack Farmer era, so irrelevant. And then I had his book and he signed it.
Things really took off for them after I joined. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
I agree.
But we have a lot to talk about. Speaking of TV shows, though, that we're not covering right now, I got to talk about it. It's not even our rundown. I got to talk about this. I only saw the trailer. I didn't even get to see it, but apparently on FS1, there is a football show that is talking about Tony Khan. Did you guys see this? Which that sounded like a Jay Leno bit. I'm sorry.
This is interesting.
Did you guys see this one? Tony Khan.
But they had Tony. It's this thing on Tony Khan, and it was about the draft day and everything going on. And he has the neck brace on. And look, I love Tony Khan. I'm clearly a big fan of him. I believe Tony Khan is one of those guys that is super smart. I think he's one of those guys that's like probably so smart he has to dumb things down to talk. You know, we've all met the type, the people who are like wildly smart. For the audio members, George is pointing to himself because he also knows people who are smart.
Fair enough.
but I was trying to think of, I was watching this show and I was not a wrestling fan and I had no idea what was going on in the world of pro wrestling. Tony Khan looked like a madman in there. I mean, I want you to imagine, Flobo, here's a picture. Why is it such a small overlay up there? I don't know how to.
What was that?
I don't know how to do this thing. Anyways, you can't see it.
It's a graphic for ants.
It's so small. How do I make this a bigger picture?
You put in the logo spot, didn't you?
I put in the logo spot. So I'm going to delete that logo and maybe I'll add it to the thing here. But it's this guy. I want you to imagine George Hermosa. Who is the, do you know the general manager of the Dodgers?
Isn't it Tommy Lasorda?
No, it's Friedman. Well, it's not Friedman, but it's basically Friedman.
If Friedman,
Maxwell, so, Jacob Friedman,
yeah, whoever it is. Imagine, I'm trying to imagine. I'm a Seahawks fan, and I'm trying to imagine John Snyder shows up. Let's say I don't know anything about him, and he shows up looking like this, in a neck brace, saying, "I'm not supposed to travel." So it worked out.
Yeah, security. I mean,
what is this guy doing? Who is this person? And he's got his big piece of paper out, and he's for his draft stuff. And I love Tony Khan, but again, I was thinking. If I knew nothing about this guy, I'd be like, who is making decisions right now? He's like, I got a pile driver yesterday. Like, what the?
Hey, kayfabe is not dead, man. The fact he went to his other job, like, I wouldn't call it sick of my second job either.
I got to tell you, though, and I like it because there's a lot, and sometimes I'll watch wrestling with people that don't watch wrestling, and we all know, right? We all know, but every now and then you get the, wait, was that actually real? Was that supposed to happen? So the fact that you have maybe non-wrestling fans watching that, I think a lot of them are probably thinking like, oh, wow, I guess they really do get hurt. I guess really it really isn't as fake as we all thought it was going to be.
I loved it, by the way. As a wrestling fan, I loved it. I love that he did it. I thought it was really cool. I was just trying to put myself, because this is a football broadcast. It has nothing to do with pro wrestling. And so I was trying to put myself in the shoes of, like, if my dad was watching, you know, and he doesn't watch wrestling. So he's watching. I can imagine him watching his favorite team and being like, wait, the general manager got body slammed yesterday and is in a neck brace before. What is going on?
He's his own bodyguard team. No, you know what? I commend the commitment of Tony Khan there, because I would have been like, I'm just kidding. That was my other place, but
I love it.
Whoa, that's not happening.
So for everyone on the audio version, Stephen Camp is saying that he's waiting for Flobo to do the Blue Meanie dance. Aren't we all?
No, we're not. I am not.
I believe that Flobo's wearing, for the audio only people, Flobo is wearing a Blue Meanie midriff right now.
Why am I checking? I am not. Rumors. So,
I loved it. If anyone actually watched the show, though, let me know if it was a good show. I just thought it was a fun thing to see as a wrestling fan out there in the world. But we have some real news, and this is some big news that I am hoping stops some other conversation going on Twitter, because I'm sick of it already. By the way, Brian H. Waters coming through the chat. No one knows what the H stands for, but we love you, Brian H. Waters. Thanks for coming through. By the way, everyone, follow Brian on social media. I would put over your show, Brian, but you've got 700 of them, so I don't have the time. But follow him on social media. Lots of good stuff happening over there.
The H stands for him.
Him. H-I.
I thought it stood for hallelujah.
Maybe.
It might. So we got some big news happening here. I'm trying to keep up with the chat. But you guys,
real quick, though, I just realized something. Jack, you want to go put on some baseball gear?
No. You know why?
Oh, why not? Why not?
Because I was born and raised a Seattle Mariners fan. Ooh. And I grew up and I was like, King Griffey Jr., Ichiro, love you guys.
No love for Jay Buhner? Alex,
Jay Buhner, Edgar Martinez. I love these guys. But you know what? Too many times, the Mariners broke this young boy's heart. And eventually I said to myself, I quit. I divorced myself from the Seattle Mariners, and I have divorced myself from Major League Baseball. I'm sick of being a fan of a team that doesn't want to win. I don't care if they don't win. That happens. But they didn't want to win. So I have divorced myself from the Seattle Mariners. I am no longer a fan of that ball club or the sport they represent.
I swear, if they go to the World Series one year, you show up, I'm going to kick you up myself.
You said you quit.
I'm going to say you'll never find proof of me saying that just because I know no one is going to care enough to dig through all these videos. So I want to talk about some big news that went down here, and something that I think a lot of people are excited about is this TV deal that has been brewing between Warner Brothers Discovery and AEW. AEW's next media rights deal with Warner Brothers Discovery seems to be approaching the finish line with a report yesterday suggesting AEW is poised to sign a 3 to 4 year contract worth $170 million annually. Now, a new report from Fightful Select has some additional details on the situation behind the scenes, but it remains a possibility that AEW's pay-per-views are part of a separate deal that is currently being worked on between the promotion and Warner Brothers Discovery, which could see the events wind up streaming on Max. On top of that, the report indicates that AEW is currently shopping around another television package for broadcast networks, and that it's something Tony Khan has wanted to make happen for a while. It appears AEW's exclusivity with the Warner Brothers Discovery is ending with a new contract, allowing Khan to bring AEW offers to the companies, explaining the recent AEW Fox rumors. Flobo, this is something that people, I feel like, have been talking about forever. And there's been a lot of people saying AEW's dead. They're not going to get paid a penny. And there's been a lot of people who are saying that they're going to build gold statues of AEW all across the nation. This, to me, looks like a great deal. It's a lot more than they got paid for their last deal. And I am salivating at the fact that I might be able to get these pay-per-views on Max and not have to pay for them every single month. This, to me, just seems like a slant. I've got a problem with saliva. But what?
Safe space here, brother. Well, I appreciate you.
But what do you make of this? Still technically a rumor.
Yeah, you know, it's a rumor, but it's to be well-earned and well-deserved. I mean, the streaming wars, or phase two of the streaming wars, once people realize they can't buy all of them at once anymore, has been sports. Which sport do you love the most are the ones you sign up for? Peacock knew that years ago. If Max gets something along the lines for wrestling fans, even if it isn't the most watched wrestling product, which, to be fair, it is. That's why the deal reflects that number. It's going to be a boon for everyone. AEW has a Peacock-like structure where they can have these special events or pay-per-views without having people to charge $60 a pop. It is on a more popular platform because I have Bleacher Report through Wrestling Inc., and that is a pain in the A. So I think it's pretty much everyone's a winner when it comes to this one. That's why I hope it's true.
This is, you know, George, I see a lot of discourse on social media. Do you think all the naysayers and doomsdayers of AEW need to step up and say I was wrong? Or do you think that this wasn't a good enough deal for them? I believe I saw a tweet from WrestleNomics that said the previous deal was $70 million a year. That might not be accurate. So, you know, whatever. I mean, but this seems like an amazing deal.
I think so.
Who doesn't know?
I think so, too. I mean, all the naysayers on the Twitter, I think they are so irrelevant because they are going to be naysayers no matter what. So I feel like their opinions don't really matter at all in any way, to be honest with you. With that said, I hate to be the bad guy, but I don't care. I don't care because all we've been hearing for the last 2 to 3 months is all rumors. Hit me up next week. Hit me up in 2 weeks when it's finally official, because I'm tired of these weekly, maybe even daily rumors about, oh, they're going to get a deal. They're not going to get a deal. They're going to be with WBD. They're going to be with Fox. They're going to be with all these things. Just let me know when it's official, because we've been hearing the same discourse for about 3-4 months by now, maybe even longer, maybe since the beginning of the year. So, I mean, if it is true, for argument's sake, if it is all true, I'm happy for them. I'm happy that they are going to continue having great product, and it looks like they're going to be expanding a lot more universe. I think that the biggest misconception about WWE is that they are a wrestling company, because considering the fact that there was once upon a time they were on USA, NBC, Bravo, E, Fox, all that stuff, that just goes to show it's not really necessarily about just the wrestling, is about everything encompassing. So the fact that they're able to be on WBD and potentially Fox, I think that's going to be a really big deal.
Carlos makes the point, even if they get 170, the IWC talking about, well, WWE got $2 billion.
Who cares? It's like we just saw the other day, who's the one that just got the big contract? Dak Prescott. It's like, oh, Dak Prescott got all this money. Okay, well, he's still on the Cowboys. Mahomes still winning Super Bowls, and he's not even the top 10 of highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
Right. That's where the comparison thing, I think, is so silly. Because also, yeah, from what I read, this makes AEW a profitable company. They are making money. I think for a 5-year-old company, as we keep saying, starting from zero, insanely good stuff for them. Plus, I mean, Who are we? By the way, everyone on the internet, people are like, it's only $170 million a year. Shut up. That is so much money. Are you out of your mind to be like, it's only $170 million a year? What?
You're just turning on all the fans at once? Dang, super kick.
If you are a Mariners fan that thinks $170 million isn't much money, then double super kick.
I can never tell if you love Seattle or hate Seattle. It changes every show we do. Like, what's the deal?
I am so proud of so many Seattle and Washington-based wrestlers in AEW doing well right now. But you can't compare it to WWE. Now, not just because how long they've been together. It's just two different companies. Who cares? Like, let's, you know, I mean, if a movie will make $300 million over the weekend, like, well, Avatar 2 made.
Yeah. 1,000%. Yeah.
Right.
You know, David says Jack with the heel turn. For people who pay close enough attention, I've always been heel.
Oh yeah, but... he absolutely is. Absolutely.
Megan Thee Stallion was in talks with AEW for a deal of her own. Did you guys hear this one? You guys read this? You hear this one?
Kevin Eubanks, it's a night show band.
So, according to PW Insider, there had been expectations of Stallion partnering up with AEW TBS champion Mercedes Moné, but PWI claims the two women first met each other while attending the annual Crunchyroll Anime Awards in Japan and became friends after finding out that they were both fans of each other, leading their managers to meet and talk as early as 2021. But since then, Neva Play has been made the official theme song of SmackDown, which reportedly caught Moné and her inner circle by surprise. While WWE striking up a deal to have Stallion's song on their weekly programming every week, it doesn't necessarily mean that she and Moné can't go through with what they had agreed upon. However, as the outlet notes, obviously the WWE deal didn't help. George, I feel like this is one of those things where it's fascinating on the outside, but it's also kind of empty on the inside. Like, yeah, her song got licensed. That's what you're supposed to do with music. But at the same time, it is kind of weird if she's on a different show. What do you make of all this?
I think this is the part where a journalism degree is so important to have when it comes to these kind of stories. Because like you just said, like, I think this is such a non-story. Like, there's no exclusivity deal when it comes to these things. Because, yeah, so Megan Thee Stallion is friends with Mercedes. So Megan Thee Stallion has her song on the beginning of SmackDown. And are she supposed to say no when WWE offers? I think if anything, they're trying to pit it as WWE saw that she was potentially doing something with Mercedes, and they swooped in to have her do the SmackDown thing. And it's just, like I said, it's just, I think it's kind of a little bit of a non-story. It's no different than Snoop Dogg. You know, you have Snoop Dogg who's related to Mercedes, and then he showed up having the stuff at WrestleMania. By the way, the best part of Mania, one of the best parts of Mania, is Snoop Dogg on commentary. Just want to throw it out there. But yeah, I think there a lot of it, it's just a story to kind of continue with, like, the tribalism and whatnot. I know Dave Meltzer put up a tweet today that, like, oh, nobody was complaining when SmackDown had an overrun. And it's like, what are you doing? You know, like, what are you, like, why are you doing this? So, yeah, I feel like this is one of those stories and just another way to just pit two companies against each other, against the big juggernaut, against the, like, oh, poor little company can't have Megan Thee Stallion involved with their little company anymore. You know, like, I don't think there's anything preventing that from still happening, though.
I mean, you're absolutely right there, George, but I have to disagree, man. If you think about the time when Snoop Dogg was going to release his special edition championship belt and then went to AEW, those belts disappeared off the market. It took about 3 years to have full circle. I mean, there is some intellectual properties, not so much like that you can't license things, but rather if you're one brand, you have plans and the competition does it, it kind of goes like, well, just for our own cultural cachet, we're not going to seem like we're haters or biters or clones. We're like, we can't do it. And so if you're Sasha, if you're Mercedes Moné, it's probably like, dang, I had this plan. Now we can't even do it because it looks like someone took your whole act. You know?
I know we can all make one phone call and get the inside news, if you know what I'm saying, from Mercedes' people.
I don't know their people. I don't even know her people's people.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have Kevin's number. I don't have Kevin's number. Do you have Kevin's number?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have Kevin.
I don't have Kevin. Am I the only person who ever have Kevin Nagaro's number?
Have you ever met him?
He sends me a happy birthday text.
You hate birthdays. That's crap.
You know what the funny thing is? He actually sends it to our mutual pal Steve Kaufman because he has my wrong number and I've never updated it.
That's what Steve says. He's like, I think he thinks I'm Jack.
That's pretty funny, actually.
So I've never told him. So he still sends happy birthday to Steve on my birthday every year. But we got a super chat. Mark Abrigo, by the way, good friend of the show. Mark Abrigo, I don't get to chat with you enough, pal. I hope you're doing well. Says, came for the wrestling chat, stayed for the Megan news. I like the Megan Thee Stallion news. We need to stay on this ever-developing story. Here's the truth. These licenses for songs, man, Megan Thee Stallion doesn't have any conversation in that. There is a person in a very tall building with a bunch of windows in it who takes a phone call and says, here's the song you can use. She doesn't make that decision. This has nothing. I think wrestling fans are getting into like, oh, she really stuck it to AEW. It just happens. This is whatever. It had nothing to do with this. But to Flobo's point, it is right. It is a little weird, I think, if she's on AEW now, why her song is on the other brand. But doesn't mean it can't happen. I don't know. No. I'm a Megan Thee Stallion fan. We need to like Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, if
I was at her concert.
Oh, really?
Right. You were.
Oh, that's pretty cool. If more Megan Thee Stallion talk gives us a couple more super chats, then Flobo is going to do that little dance that went viral.
I do not do
that. The little Watashiwa style, whatever that song is.
Don't ask the super chats. I don't get a cut of that. I'm not doing it.
Everyone in the chat sent through a super chat, and let's get Flobo to do the Blue Meanie dance.
Okay, first of all, I don't know what that is. And second of all, if it was $100, maybe.
George, show Flobo the Blue Meanie dance.
Hold on, let me get a little more. We want to go widescreen on this one?
How do I guess we'll do it this way. Okay.
Oh, yeah! I remember that. I ain't doing that bullcrap. Nope.
If you are audio only...
No, I'm not.
If you are audio only, you have just missed... Possibly the greatest moment since George did the Mercedes Moné dance on our show. Flobo, if we get three super chats, you gotta do it, Flobo.
No, we get $100 in super chats. Take that.
Oh, well, there you go. Challenge accepted. Hold on, it's never gonna happen. How do I do a super chat, by the way?
Hey, you can't do a super chat.
You never said asterisk. You never said exclusions.
I love asterisks.
And technically, Mark Abrigo already gave us a super chat, so you don't even need to do the full 100.
Yeah. If it's $98 between now and the end of the hour, sure.
$98.01 we're away from.
So, yeah. Corey Pride says that's real hot girl-ish. It was hot girl-ish being there. It was fun. It was a fun show, by the way. Fun group to go with. Let's talk about Kota Ibushi revealing a training session with Kenny Omega. So both of them were posed together on Instagram with the caption, "World domination is just days away. Had a golden practice after a long time. We are still far from done. Next AEW." Flobo, do you think this is just one of those like, hey, we're working out together, but you got to present it a certain way? Or do you think, are we going to see the Golden Lovers come to AEW?
It's going to come together, but not first. I think what you're saying, the former is more true. It's more like, hey, don't forget about us. I know AEW is in the transition period. We can definitely make it happen. But if there's ever an all-in tag team or an all-out tag team you want to see, it's those two.
George, both of these guys are huge stars. Let's say they are coming back. Let's say they're coming back before the end of the year. Do you want to see them as the Golden Lovers? What a great name for a tag team. Or do you want to see them go singles? I feel like a lot of people want to see Kenny Omega as a singles wrestler, but this is one of those great tag teams. You're the guy with the pen. What do?
I feel like there's a lot left to be desired with Kenny Omega as a singles wrestler, but considering he's coming back from like a serious injury, I know Ibushi is kind of getting back in the groove himself. I think there's no better way to kind of get them both back in the groove than to be a tag team. Maybe split the workload in half. And they've always had really, really good matches as a team, dating back to the DDT days and whatnot, and even going forward to like the New Japan, you know, when they first started coming over to the US. But I feel like we need to see a lot more of them two as a team in AEW. Yes, Danny Cochran, the Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks, very easy story to tell. But that doesn't mean that they can't do that either. So I feel like there's a lot there when it comes to them two as a tag team.
Yeah, I definitely want a strong Kenny Omega singles run. And I know a lot of people will say, well, he had one. He was the world champion. He had it for a while. But because it was like when the fans weren't there and it wasn't, it feels like it doesn't really count as much.
And plus, he was a heel. Not to say that meant anything as far as his style, but he was a heel at Don Callis. I'd want to at some point see top babyface Kenny Omega get that main event singles run.
Yeah. Thunder Rosa is also coming off an injury on Busted Open Radio. She noted that she's currently battling a head injury, namely a concussion. As such, she will be out of action for, quote, a couple of weeks as she recuperates. No word on exactly how or when Rosa sustained the concussion, but obviously can't wrestle when you're hurt. George, Thunder Rosa is someone who I think just has a presence when she comes out. Probably hailing from one of the coolest places ever, the graveyards of Tijuana. I mean, how cool is that? This is a time I feel like getting Thunder Rosa back would be really cool with this heated up women's division.
Yes, you took the words right out of my mouth, especially with the women's division just kind of getting better and better on a weekly basis. You have a fresh new champion that's there that, you know, is really finding her groove, and I'll get into that a little bit later. And Thunder Rosa just came off a great feud with Deonna Purrazzo, and we're really starting to see a lot of these women have feuds that don't revolve around a championship that I think is something that the WWE has lacked for a very long time. They'll have it every now and then, but really not give them the main spotlight at WrestleMania like they deserve. But yeah, Thunder Rosa, you know, take your time. Don't rush back into things. It's going to be here. She's that big of a star where she can get back in the groove and not have people forget her, if that makes sense. You know, I know there's always the like, oh, if I'm out of an injury, are they going to remember me, or am I going to be as over as I was? I think she's one of those people that she's got nothing to worry about.
Thunder Rosa is someone who I always say has that Royal Rumble appeal, where if people are just coming out every 30 seconds, she comes out, her music hits. She's someone who makes you stop and take notice. Flobo, thoughts on this news from Thunder Rosa? And can you confirm the reports that you're going to dress up as Flobo Rosa for Halloween?
I will definitely do that, but it won't be nearly as fun.
But just no dancing. You'll dress up as Thunder Rosa, but just no dancing, right?
Yeah, exactly. For the graveyards of where the hell do I live these days? I have no idea. Look, we love Thunder Rosa. We love what she's contributed, and we really want to see her back. But I guess after this week watching those football games, man, especially with the Dolphins, what they're going through, just make sure you are fine 100%, especially with the brain injury. I mean, the fallout of coming back too fast is always not worth the risk. So yeah, come back 100%.
There's a lot of brain injuries. Like the news of it is a lot prevalent these days with everything that happened last week. So yeah, just take your time and just come back when you're 100%.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com. And we want to get into this episode of AEW Dynamite because it was a firecracker of an episode. But before we do, I want to ask everyone to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, a little comment. I like to go in there and read the comments. It makes me feel good or bad, depending on how many stars we got. But hey, it's all fair game. If you are in the chat with us, like J.R. Smith or Danny Cochran or Daniel Berry, or we got AJ, is it Moonho? Moonho? I don't know how to pronounce it. I apologize if I got it wrong. Thanks for coming through. Stalking you, Fernando and Adonde and Carlos and Maria and Mark Abrigo shouting you out one more time. Casey J and Enzo Amore coming through. We're going to chat about your old pally, Big Bill, in a little bit. I am 100% confident that is the real Enzo Amore.
For real? Hello, gentlemen. Wait a minute.
So, yeah, and if you're lurking, cool to lurk too. We appreciate you lurking. Let's talk about this show. We start with Orange Cassidy versus The Learning Tree, Chris Jericho. This match was set up because Jericho believes Cassidy owes him for ruining his jacket, but Cassidy paid him back already by dumping loose change on Jericho's car. It was supposed to be a one-on-one, but starts out as a brawl with all six men, and then becomes a brawl just between the two men. They go to the outside. They brawl in the ring. Learning Tree tries to help Jericho, but the conglomeration stops them, and Orange Cassidy gets the win. George, a lot of people have not been huge fans of Jericho as of late. I thought that they made this one a fun one. What do you think?
I mean, just overall, I think this feud's like pointless and a waste of time. It's like, why are we rehashing this 4 years later? And why did it take you 4 years to rehash it, if that's the case? I thought the match was fine. As you guys know, I'm trying to kind of think glass half full when it comes to Jericho and the Learning Tree. As the match itself, I thought it was fine. I just thought it was pointless. I was like, why are we doing this in 24? Like, you guys have both moved on. Like, I don't understand it. But I do, anytime we do get a chance to see Brian Keith on TV or even Big Bill, that's kind of, if there was stock to invest in, I think Big Bill is somebody that everybody should invest in right now before the stock gets even higher. It wasn't bad, but more overall, the match is good. I just thought why it's happening was pointless.
I felt like Flobo, that watching this, I believe that once this Learning Tree thing is done, Big Bill should be in the world championship picture. I think he's proving that every single time he goes out there in a multitude of ways. And if that happens, I'm here for it. What do you think?
I don't want to go into the whole let's terminate titles thing, because that seems to be a common trend here. But there's so many options for someone of Bill's caliber to go down that I would seem a better fit for. I don't think he's anti-world championship, but I kind of feel like with all the different titles now, he seems more international to me personally. Maybe.
Why? What? Not arguing, but I'm curious with AEW's title situation, why international versus TNT or whatever.
The TNT is the secondary title based on legacy, but I feel like as far as prestige, the gold and the ones who hold it, the international title has a little bit more weight. At least that's what I would think of. That's me with my headcanon, because AEW has been pretty fuzzy of actually ranking the titles. But you have somebody who is ready to go on their own, ready to make an impact, having a title held by one of the hottest free agents who will Ospreay, it can argue this one's actually a more hotly contested title and division than the world championship picture.
Interesting. It definitely is a hotter division, I think. Yeah, there's more people in it, more people looking for it, where the world title is still very, we don't know who's next. I mean, really, just about anyone could pull up and say, I'm next. That's kind of what Jack Perry did, right? Yeah, I guess that could be the case. I do want to point out something that Mike Martin said. Even if you don't agree with comments, bro, don't take it personal. Jack, different opinions are interesting. Look, it doesn't really bother me when I get negative comments. I mean, I always say be very hypocritical of me to be on a show where I give my opinion on stuff and then to get upset that someone has a negative opinion about me.
Sounds accurate.
In any case, let's move on to the Blackpool Combat Club. So we got two major points here. I'm going to start with the first one, and that is a video package. Pac and Claudio want to know where Yuta has been and that they expect to see him back for a Trios Championship match. Yuta is conflicted and even forgot his championship and the show he's meant to be on, but he'll beat up whoever it takes. Flobo, you're shaking your head. My first takeaway is I love the sound during the Blackpool Combat Club. Makes it feel tense. But you started shaking your head when Yuta started talking.
Yeah.
Explain.
Explain yourself. Shout out to an old show that we're both on. Look, I like really Yuta, even though his win-loss record isn't the greatest. And I understand that the Blackpool Combat Club is kind of like a free-form group now. Are they together? They're not together. Are they just an alliance? But I understand what I saw, but Wheeler Utrecht getting his title was not the flex I think he thought it was. Him being like, you know, man, I'm just out of my mind right now. I forgot my championship. And it's like, well, if you forget you're a champion in a fighting promotion, you should probably go to the medic. Like, why would you forget your title? Like, what? It's 7 pounds. What can possibly be the thing where you're like, forget it? What if it was a child? You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't make sense to me.
It did kind of. So again, I love the Blackpool Comic Club side of this. It did kind of rub me the wrong way, George, how he was like, oh, I forgot my championship. No one is more proud to be a Trios champion than I am. Really? Because you just lost the championship.
Cut him some slack. He is going through an emotional roller coaster right now. We've all had those situations in our lives, whether it's for a girl or a job or a championship. I dig it. You can tell that he's not mentally all there. You know, the whole Blackpool Combat Club Civil War, you know, has hit him hard. I mean, I'm sure he's kind of doesn't know what side to choose, whether he should go with Daniel Bryan, whether he should go with, you know, the Moxley and his buddies. Yeah, I think it's completely fine. Cut him some slack, for goodness sakes.
So he did actually have a pretty tough time seeing his mentor, who he quoted, even though his mentor just got choked out with a plastic bag.
It happens.
You know, there's an old movie, American Beauty, that said that a plastic bag is the most beautiful thing in the world for people who watched movies from 25 years ago. Later on, Private Party threw out a challenge for the Trios Championships, but they later tried to jump the Blackpool Combat Club and just got the snot kicked out of them. Yeah. Commander tries to help out, and he got the snot kicked out of him. Eventually, Darby runs out, swinging a skateboard wildly, calls his shot and says he's going to beat John Moxley, and then he's going to win the AEW championship in his hometown of Seattle, Washington. George, this new version of the Blackpool Combat Club, I am here for it. Just wrecking people.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I wasn't here last week, but I wanted to pretty much applaud that segment of the opening, the way they opened it with Moxley coming in and having that kind of, you know, presentation. I thought it was fantastic. They continued it this week. But yeah, like this is like, and I like that Pac kind of has a purpose now. He was always a bit of a loner whenever he wasn't with his Lucha buddies. So I kind of like that he's part of this. And does he not own regular clothes? It doesn't matter if anyone else has, you know, a regular shirt or pants. He's always in his wrestling gear.
I have said that I want to see a vignette of Pac like doing normal things like grocery shopping in his tights, because that's all he has. This is his wrestling tights. Like wherever he's at, he's ice fishing in his wrestling tights. And that's all he's.
Wait, that's the first two things he thought of: grocery shopping and ice fishing.
Just, I want
doctor's
to see
office.
In the doctor's office, the eye doctor, by the way, and like, you know, in church.
That should be like a Twitter account. But it can't be Photoshop. It's got to be like Pac doing regular things, and it just has pictures of him doing everyday things in his wrestling gear.
Pac in church. Forgive me, Father. I'm a bastard.
Yeah, and the priest is like, yeah, you say this every Sunday.
Right.
Literally over and over again. He's at weddings wearing just his wrestling gear. By the way, Droy J says, Darby keeps his snot. So yeah, he got to keep his snot. That was pretty good. Killer Demons, though, calling it out, says, how can Darby win in Seattle when this pay-per-view is in Tacoma? Tacoma, where the street champions are from. That's right, baby. Tacoma, Washington.
Just flip-flopping. I love the Pacific Northwest now. I'm Jack Farmer.
Mark Abrigo with a very good point here at the Super Chat says,
oh, no, Super Chat again.
We got 9602 left.
Stop doing that.
We've all forgotten a title belt at some point. You know, this sounds like a joke, but it's kind of true. There's a lot of people who have forgotten and lost championship things, like like Jericho lost the championship once. And
didn't Gunther lose like the UK title one time?
He did. We got it back, though.
I mean, so losing so did Wheeler Yuta.
Look, all I'm saying is, if I'm going to be a champion, I don't want some PA being like, hey, you forgot this. That's embarrassing, man.
He's not
PA. Just on TV.
Yeah, it's on TV.
Danny Cochran says he wants to see Pack reading to children at the library.
That'd be hilarious.
With his creepy wet hair in his face.
That'd like, be cool. He goes shopping.
The hat.
Why is it always Dr. Seuss? Hop on pop.
That'd be hilarious if he's at like the clothing store and instead of shopping for like actual clothes, he's just shopping for more tights.
Tights and armbands.
Do you have any armbands in this size? Oh man. Yeah, there's a that's all I care about now is I want to see Pack just doing normal stuff. But I got to reiterate, I love this version of the Blackpool Combat Club. Flobo, I did want to ask you specifically about Claudio because he's one of your guys. You are famously a hater of just about everything good, but you do love Claudio. And
hey,
Claudio, this tonight may have been one of my favorite Claudio performances. The way he was wrecking people, those choke slams onto the knee, just bullying people. I love this Claudio.
I have to agree. Look, if you really want to rehab Claudio, some will say you don't have to at all. I would lead into the combat club aspect of the combat club. Let this guy be the boogeyman in the alleyway. And we saw a bit of that tonight, which I'm happy with.
Big fan of Claudio doing this. I hope that happens more often.
It'll be great. That's just a comment. Working at Forever 21
for Pat.
Like, let's say he's working at a place and he just has a name tag, and it's like, wait, what's his name tag like pinned on with? It's just skin.
Just like a little trickle of blood coming.
Yeah. Like, wait, what? Did he pin it?
Death matches are okay, but having one pin, it's kind of gross.
Mike Martin says Claudio legit has the best smelling cologne. Why do I disagree with you? And I've never smelt it.
Like,
I just feel very confident he does not have the best smelling cologne. Hook has a match with JD Inc. Roderick Strong's talking over the intros, talking crap in general on commentary while Hook gets a pretty decisive victory. Not sure there's much to take away from Lobo, but any thoughts?
A lot of times people talk about what Hook is on AEW. Is he a star? Does he have it? Jury's still out on it for me. But I actually like this match here. Now, I'm not going to have JD Inc. every week. You really think that he might be outclassed by Roderick Strong. But I will say this is actually a trend upward for Hook when you compare it to where he was a year ago.
Do you agree, George?
No. Hook has not progressed in any way in the last 3 years. It's funny because Moxley was just kind of – and I like what he said about Private Party. Like, you've been here for 5 years, and you're in the same spot that you've been in. The same can be said about Hook. I think, and the fact that he's still FTW champion, I think is such a slap in the face of him and his abilities. And it just kind of goes to show, like, is it the company that sees nothing in him? Or is it maybe him that maybe he's reached a ceiling? I don't know. I'm not trying to, you know, stir it up or in any way, but
stir it up.
I just think it's a shame that again, maybe he's not as good as everybody says he is. I'm just saying maybe. I'm not
Who's everybody, though? Everyone's
he's
been crapping on Hook
FTW,
forever.
He's still
but
the
people
FTW
have been
champion.
Crapping on Hook forever. That's what I'm saying. Today was actually a bright spot. No one's like, oh, man, Hook, PWI, top 10. Nobody's ever tapped.
He's
nobody.
That was the same thing. Wimmer was first or second match ever. He just comes in. He goes to the corner. He looks the other way. And he just pretty much comes in and squashes the guy. This is the same thing that happened in his very
with
first
Goldberg?
Match. Yeah, or Hook. Yeah, this is the same thing that happened in the very first match, very second match. Like, now there's he's going to face Roderick Strong for a championship that means absolutely nothing. That's like, why does Roddy want the championship anyways? Like, it's like a
family heirloom.
Yeah, but at least say that. They're treating it like as he's going to be the FTW champion. Like, no, like, but what does it mean? Get personal, get involved, have, you know, Taz in the mix or whatever it is. Like, Jericho at least tried, you know, but like, for the most part, like, the Hook is in the same spot that he's in for 2-3 years ago. Give me something new. Again, he should be going after the TNT championship. He should be going after the Continental or the International, whatever it is, but he is way, give him something more than what he was in 2 years ago.
Mark Abrigo adds, the cold-hearted, handsome devil is a mouthful.
You know what? It still rolls off a tongue better than the charismatic enigma, Jeff Hardy.
Hey, you be careful with your words against Jeff Hardy. Not because I don't agree, but people ride hard for Jeff Hardy. You got to be careful. It's like coming after Sasha Banks. Not a good idea. Oh, people come after you.
Yeah. And Beyonce and Taylor Swift, by the way.
Yeah. You don't go after them. But George, I want to ask you about Hook. Is this, do you think it's a him thing or do you think it's how he's used thing? If you were the guy running the show, would you book him differently? Or do you think he needs to do something
different? If I was management, I think he needs to work on his promo skills. And I think they need to put him in a situation where he's got the ability to not only work on his promo skills, but at least be above where he's been at for the last 2 years.
Let me ask you a question, George, because you are actually a part of the wrestling art and sciences. What makes a good promo? Because Hook is not going to be a guy to be like, listen here, it's LA Night. Yeah, he's not going to do that. So what can Hook do to make it work for you that's still true to him?
Have a sense of purpose. I think there's three or four purposes for a promo. One is to get yourself over. Two is to get the event over. Three is to get your opponent over. There's many ways to get the promo over. And him kind of huffing and puffing in Jericho's face, eating Lay's potato chips, is not the way to do it. So it just depends on what he's trying to do. If he's trying to get himself over, maybe less is more. Maybe he needs to say a little bit less in order to get it over. Like, what exactly are we impressed with Hook? You know, when we see him, is it his promo? Not really. It's his in ring ability. He's pretty good in the ring. So focus on that. If he does need to work on the promos, you know, baby steps. But at least like some of the facials, I think need work. I think some of the beats need work. And Jack knows more than anybody because he's been there literally with a mic in his hand interviewing people. It's not just this Sunday, you're going to go down. There is a sense of beat and psychology and storytelling, whether it's 30 seconds, whether it's a minute. And I feel like that's kind of lost when it comes to Hook and how he does his promos.
I do think there's something to the mysterious, quiet guy. And I think he's someone who the younger generation seems to be drawn to quite a bit. So I'm not anti-Hook in that regard, but I do get what George is saying. Like, you got to move on at some point. You got to move on from where you're at. Otherwise, you become that person that's just stuck, you know? And I'd like to see him in more challenging situations. I get that you got to have your wins against your JD Inks, but at some point, I do want to see him in matches where he's going to get pushed. I want to see him in a match with a Ricochet. I want to see him in a match with a Will Ospreay, and people are going to push him a bit instead of just going, he gets choked out or they're going to slip on banana peels like Jericho. I want to see him in those tough fights that he's going to have to really fight and not just sort of throw a few suplexes and get the choke win.
I'm not too keen on like the comparison to the UFC, but let's compare it to UFC. If you're a guy on the come up that you just beat a former world champion, odds are your next program should be something on that level. Like, oh, he just beat a former world champion. Let's see if he can beat somebody else that's maybe on that level or maybe on the way to get that level. So when you have Hook, who just beat Chris Jericho, not only is he a former AEW world champion, he's like a former, I mean, in case you didn't know, he beat Rock and Austin on the same night, you know, like, so, and now he's, no disrespect to Roderick Strong, but now he's coming after somebody who's never really been at the mountaintop. Now he's focusing on still trying to defend his FTW championship. Like, there's no progression. You just beat a former world champion. Like, that should elevate you in some ways, but the fact that he's still going to be on that level, like, I think that's on the company.
Well, speaking of world champions, let's talk about the reigning and defending undisputed future world champion, Christian Cage. Basically says himself and Nick Wayne are going to hold championships at the same time before giving a finger wagon to Kip Sabian. Flobo, we've talked about this guy before. Christian Cage, I believe, the best bad guy in pro wrestling, and it's not close right now.
He's definitely the throw line for AEW to see where the pale is and how you can go beyond that. Here's somebody in the stage of his career, doesn't have to do all the flippy stuff, doesn't have to jump off ladders, but can anyway. You and I are in agreement, I think. He should be the next AEW world champion, and he should have the run that we always think about when we think about our favorite wrestlers.
I do agree. I think he should be the next world champion. I think he should be the one to beat Bryan Danielson and retire him. I think Christian Cage should be a focal point of AEW. He's so good right now. George, tell me I'm wrong.
Honestly, I wish I could. I said it a couple weeks ago where, Christian Cage is at that point where I don't want to see him be a failing challenger anymore. I feel like he's done so much goodwill, whether it's, you know, being that Impact World Champion to face Kenny Omega in the main event of All Out. Now it's to the point where there's really nobody better than Christian Cage right now. And if that's the case, and because that's the case, he should be rewarded with the top title in the entire company. Therefore, you know, he should be the top heel, should be the top champion, and have maybe a top babyface go after him later on down the road.
We had a tag team match after this one. Serena Deeb and Mariah May versus Queen Aminata and Yuka Sakazaki. This one was built on collision between the four different competitors. Comes down to Yuka almost getting the win, but Mariah uses the belt to take a DQ, but attacks her future opponent in the process. Mina Shirakawa afterwards says she's coming for Mariah. George, we got pretty heated last time we talked about Mariah May and Flobo embarrassed himself. But what did you think of this one?
I do that.
aside from just, I'm still not a big fan of just somebody random coming in and challenging for the world championship. Because I feel like that does a disservice to what should be the top prize in the entire world for the women's division. I thought it was okay. I thought the tag match was good. I like the brewing feud between Aminata and Serena Deeb. And again, I said it last time where I Aminata to me is in that Kyle Fletcher category of just like, you know, she's going to come out there. She's going to have a great match with somebody good, but she's going to lose. We all know she's going to lose. But at least we saw something different today. We saw DQ. We saw pretty much nobody lose.
So except she won.
Yeah, she won. Not by pinfall or submission. But I do want to add, every single week, more and more, Mariah May is becoming legit one of the top women in all of pro wrestling. Her presence, her mic work, her in-ring ability, she to me is becoming the true complete package for every woman or all of women, and not just AEW but in the entire pro wrestling world.
I'm a huge Queen Aminata fan, and I can say I was a fan a long, long time ago when she first debuted on AEW Dark. So I'm very happy to see her growing, and I think that she's got a bright future. Uh-huh. Flobo, we are in disagreement about Mariah May, and if you want to talk about that, feel free. But I'm going to say,
if you want to be wrong,
where we do agree, I'm not a fan of people just taking a DQ loss. It always rubs me the wrong way, unless it's like, I don't know. It never rubs me the right way. I'm always like, that seems weak to me. Why even take the match?
Yeah, absolutely. I understand DQs have a purpose, whether it's self-preservation or to feud elongating. Is that a word? Elongation? I don't know. But yeah, it always feels cheap, and it kind of does a disservice because we wouldn't have much of a showcase with these talents in the ring. But at the same time, we got some moves and holes in there I enjoyed. I'm with you on Queen Aminata. I actually like Yuka a little bit too. I can't lie. She's able to do some things without fear. So I was fine with them. But as far as Mariah May, George and I will forever disagree.
Yuka is someone I like, but she just needs to be on TV more. I feel like she's on for a while and then she disappears. She's one of the people that get into that.
Yes.
They get heated up for a couple months and then they disappear for years. And then so that's my only issue with Yuka Sakazaki is I just want her to be on TV regularly. Right. And unfortunately on Dynamite, like that's the one that counts.
And she's got such a fun presence too about her. Like she's somebody that I really feel like with enough time, because she's got the crowd behind her now, but 3 months from now, is she still going to be on Dynamite on a weekly basis? I really don't think so.
Well, all four of these women are great. Hopefully we see more of them. We got a video package, couple of them. Brian Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness kind of tells us about the story of why they hate each other so much. And Jack Perry video package just reminding us of who he is. George, with this Brian Danielson, Nigel McGuinness video, I know there's a lot of people who are upset about how they got to this matchup. And I agree. I think it was clunky how they did it. I give them a pass because I frankly just want to see the match. And I know that they're on limited time to get to it with Nigel McGuinness. And so they have to kind of force their hand a little bit. That said, are you looking forward to this one? Did you like the video package? Or are you going to rant about how they got to it, which is fair?
I did all my ranting in the YouTube comments last week. but yeah, I would have liked for that to be a little bit more closure, though. I would have liked to, because it's only 1 week away, I don't know what you're shaking your head for. It's only one week.
No, the comment that was this.
He's still thinking about Mariah May.
Yeah. Not thinking about it. That's not true though.
So is it something that they're gonna make
out of his head?
Is it something that they're gonna make official on Collision? Is it something that's gonna be so last minute that there's a possibility that might not even happen next week on Grand Slam? I just would have liked for them to make it official. Now that they did how they did it, Darby versus, you know, Moxley is essentially official. And then they keep saying like, oh, if he's healthy next week. I don't know. I just would have liked to have been more official this week leading into next week, because now we go into next week uncertain if the match is actually going to happen. I just would have liked there to be something, not just still have the uncertainty of if Brian's going to be there next Wednesday.
My understanding is, and this is flimsy, I'm not defending, this is my understanding of it, is the belief is that Danielson cannot compete in time. That is why they moved Darby to Moxley. Nigel is saying, if he can, then I want that match. And so I think in theory, what we're supposed to believe is that AEW said, look, we're not sure he's going to be ready, so we've got to pivot. But if he is ready, then Nigel can have him since he'll technically be free. And I think what the idea is, we're going to get to the show and Nigel's going to come out and be like, he's too scared, he's not going to make it, blah, blah, blah. Then the music hits and we all cheer. And he's like, maybe I wasn't ready just enough. I got cleared this morning is going to be one of those things that happens.
That's, I mean, it's pro wrestling. I think they could have done it a little bit better than having all these uncertainties heading into, like, it's a pretty big show next week. It's the Grand Slam. They always make a big deal out of this one show. Maybe even one of the biggest Dynamite. This one, maybe the anniversary show, which is great because it was like 2 weeks in a row, are probably the two biggest Dynamites usually on a yearly basis. And I would have liked them to be more like, all right, it's happening, or we don't know yet. Maybe.
Like I said, I think that this is a bit of a, and maybe it's poor planning on them, this is a bit of a, we got Danielson until this date and we just got to make this happen, which is unfortunate. Flobo, I want your thoughts on that, but also Jack Perry in the video package said it's his time. First there was Triple H, then John Cena. Is Jack Perry the next big name in the industry?
Oh my gosh, not the it's time stuff. To be fair, so
okay,
did
fine,
I...
fine. If he starts wearing jean shorts, does that put him over the top?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? The day those come back. I mean, I'm all set up, man.
Let's I be kept real. On my old ones waiting for this.
Exactly. Having a cold storage. So did Elijah Burke. It was his time as well.
Yeah.
No, well, real quick about the whole, not Moxley situation, the Daniel Bryanson.
Brian, that sounds right.
Thanks, George. that sounds right. Situation is, yeah, I understand. Get yourself a plan A and plan B. That's kind of the drawback of having so many big shows back to back. But I kind of would have loved a big flyery, like, you know, just the two guys grappling with Nigel and Brian, but or Danielson. But the idea of them having that pretense is fine enough for me. Jack Perry. Not the biggest fan of him, but he's becoming undeniable. Here's somebody that people have a feeling for, which is hard in a sport where everyone's kind of like, I like the guy, I like the match, I love a heel or whatever. So yes, you gotta lean into it. He's going to have his fall, much like how Punk usually has his summer. So why not shot the racket to him now? But I'll be honest with you, if he ever become a real threat and he won real gold, it wouldn't move the needle for me. But I think it's super important to have guys that have championships like that.
Yeah, I'm actually really loving the Jack Perry thing, but I know that's a divisive person to like, so I'm not going to get into a big argument about it. Sonny Sitar actually asked, Nigel McGuinness was huge. Why did he leave wrestling? I actually saw this I saw an interview quote from about this just today. I don't know if the interview was today or if it just came across my timeline, but he said it wasn't for injury, it wasn't for concussions or all the other news things, but he had been, but the WWE didn't want him and he could not afford to keep working and living his life on the Ring of Honor budget and did not want to go back to TNA based off how things went there. So he just had to call it until the opportunity came back where it worked out for him. So it's especially good that he's back, and it makes me personally just like this match more for him if that was the case, because to give up your dream had to have been tough, and so for him to be able to get it back I think is a really special thing. Personally, I have a heart, but let's talk about
that's not true.
Not true. So Ricochet takes the Beast Mortos, and it's a fun one with Ricochet getting the win and moving closer to his match with Ospreay. Afterwards, Ricochet reminds Ospreay he's not better than Ricochet, and October 2nd, at the 5th anniversary of Dynamite, they're having their match for the International Championship, little bruv. Flobo, I know you have your storylines and your characters and your match wrestling and all this stuff, but I'll tell you what, the Beast Mortos trumps them all. I want to see this thing just run through everybody, all snarly and snotty and beasty all over people.
Stop.
His snout, come on.
Stop.
The Beast Mortos is heavy metal. Let's go.
It's heavy metal, but he can't get two dubs in a row. That's the worst metal example I've ever saw in my life. And I was saying this before. He looks like if Luchasaurus and Nyla Rose had a baby, but it'd be kind of weird. It might be an egg that may hatch. I don't get him at all, but he goes against Ricochet, a man who is on momentum. And by the way, sidebar, Ricochet's theme song is awful, but I still like him too. Yeah. And he really came out and showed out why he's important. But the Beast Mortos, I know he's a jack pick, but no, thank you.
The Beast Mortos, come on. George Hermosa, first off, I hate to agree with you about Ricochet's theme song. I really want him to come out to something like great, you know, like something that just like makes you go, oh. I kind of go,
He's out of this world.
His first one was great. The one that he debuted in NXT with, that one was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
one and only. But that's a banger workout song, by the way. Oh, my God. Like rowing to that song. Da, 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 da. You know, come on. George Hermosa, though, we all agree Ricochet is cool, but the Beast Mortos, come on. You want to see him? You want to see him? I want to see him turn all of these wrestlers into manure.
I'm gonna go a little old school real quick. I think one of the biggest missed opportunities that the WWF ever did was when you had Typhoon and Earthquake as a natural disasters. I think one of the biggest missed opportunity was not having the Texas Tornado join up with them, and they can be, you know, the mega disasters. With that said, I want to see a legit tag team with the Beast Mortos and Luchasaurus at some point, like just wreck havoc in the entire tag division.
No, stop. Come on, George. Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm, what about this that I just said thinks I'm joking?
I can't tell with you, George. Actually, you're pretty good at deadpanning. But the point of what I'm saying is everyone always says that when people look alike, they say they should be a tag team. But I go, come on, we're past that now. We're past the spooky era. We passed the gimmick era. AEW's maturing. You can't play these two guys.
Is this because I said that Bianca and Jade should be a tag team?
Yeah, that too. But what I'm saying is fans do it all the time. They always say, this people are similar. Let's put them together. And it never works out.
Why do you say that? It's working out perfectly fine for Bianca and Jade.
Is it though?
They're two-time tag team champions.
Look, yeah, they're also in the weakest division of professional wrestling in North America, the women's tag team championships.
I don't know.
So the FTW championship is
it's not even sanctioned. That doesn't count.
I would say that the women's tag division is a lot stronger than the men's tag division.
This is a AEW show. Let's say that, but
Flubbo did have a point because AEW's got a big problem with people not being able to win two or three times in a row. So you'll see them on Rampage and they'll have an impressive win against, like, was it TJ Inc. or TJ Cup or whatever his name
JD
is.
Inc.
JD Inc. I don't know if he's related to JD Drake. So they'll have one victory on Rampage and then they'll go on Collision or whatever, Dynamite, and then they'll just lose a big one. And I'm like, that's the whole Kyle Fletcher thing that I see on a regular basis.
We're going to talk about Kyle Fletcher, by the way, and you're going to eat your words.
I'm really not.
I hope you saved room, pal, because there's some crow that you're going to have to choke down in a second.
But yeah, I would have liked to have seen Ricochet beat not the Beast Mortos, because the Beast Mortos is somebody, Black Taurus, even going back to what he was before. Man, that guy is impressive as hell.
I got to call a match with Beast Mortos before he was Beast Mortos, and he was, we didn't know it was a replacement. We didn't know who he was going to be. And he came out through the crowd and just, like I said, snot and snarly and I was like, oh my God, what is this thing? It's incredible. But Ricochet, Ospreay, that's going to be cool. Last thing here, Flobo, because we
had a good promo.
I wanted to
wait,
say,
from Ricochet?
Yeah.
Wait. What? We're going long. Let me move this on. Flobo, about the promo. I did want to say, I enjoyed the fact that AEW is getting better. This is something that WWE has mastered lately, but they're getting better at layering things so they have big matches on weekly shows instead of just going to like nothing until you get to the pay-per-views. Like, this is one of those shows in a couple weeks we're going to get Ospreay Ricochet. I'm enjoying that. I think that's something that AEW's improved on that they've struggled with previously.
Yeah, well, they struggled with it due to their own doing, right? It was kind of like, we're more sports based. Here's the match. You're going to love the match because the athleticism. And they realized it didn't work. Now, I'm not saying they became WWE. I wouldn't say that. They got to find their own way, their own path. But yeah, at the end of the day, even though we love wrestling, the actual wrestling itself has to be secondary to give us a reason to tune in. Ricochet Will Ospreay is going to print money any single time you do it. You can do a best of 11 series and it would bang. I want to see it.
We got an Adam Page promo where he says he knew one day he'd get rid of Swerve Strickland, and now he wants to get rid of the people who supported him, like Tony Schiavone.
This is great.
Jeff Jarrett comes to Tony's aid, and the two brawl until security breaks it all up. I am all in, George, on the Last Outlaw versus the Hangman fighting it out. I think this is a perfect follow-up to the Swerve rivalry. I just love this all around. You agree, it sounds
like. I agree. I agree. And it even has a little bit of history going back to the Owen Cup tournament. There, you know, that they had their match, and a lot of people thought that Jeff Jarrett maybe should have won that first round match. But I like that, you know, it kind of started there. That was what, 2-3 months ago. I do have one tiny criticism, and they do this a lot, and I can't stand it. Is when you will see like a video package of, let's say in this case scenario, we saw a video package from Adam Page, from Hangman Adam Page, right? You see like whatever it is, he says a couple things. And then Excalibur goes, and we're going to hear from Adam Page coming up next. I'm like, we just heard from him. So like, I don't know, get rid of one or the other. Don't have a little video package where he says stuff and then say, coming up next, we're going to see something from Adam Page. Like, I don't know. I just one or the other. Without that, I thought it was great.
Just
I
picking love, them next. What? Yeah. Really? A guy is
what,
supposed
what
to be
does
on.
What ever do to you?
That's what I'm saying. You got to see him twice. Hear from him twice.
I'm just saying it's a little redundant, but either way, I like his purpose now. I like he's kind of embracing it. We saw a little bit at All Out of just kind of like he's kind of embracing the person that he has to become, that Swerve made him become. And now it's like, if that's the case, he's trying to eliminate anything and everyone that, you know, pretty much Swerve was supported by. And I think it's great.
I totally unrelated, but it reminds me of the old days when people listened to the radio. I know that I just lost half our audience with the radio. It always bugged me when the radio station would have a commercial and they'd be like, we play all the hits. And then it'd play a snippet of a song you love. And then it would go like, tune in or whatever, 107.7. And then it'd go in and it wouldn't be the song they played the snippet of. I'm like, no, you just teased me. I want to hear the song you teased, not this other song by some lame group or artist.
Stick who's around, the Spice Girls? Know. Who are the Spice Girls?
Spice Girl hate will not be tolerated here, okay?
Oh, I love me some Spice Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Stop right now. Thank you very much.
We could talk Spice Girls all night long, but
Flobo, We can.
What are your thoughts on Adam Page? Are you an Adam Page fan? I can't remember. I love Adam Page.
I liked him as a face. I don't quite understand this dark version of Adam Page, and those flame pants aren't my favorite. I didn't think he didn't wear it tonight.
He explained it why.
I'm not saying why. I just don't like them. It's a fashion faux pas.
No, okay? I'm saying his character. his character.
Look, you can have a character that's done really well, but you can opt out. Like this is another example. I'm not trying to pile on the women's division, but I don't particularly care for Timeless Toni Storm. But I know it's her most best character work. And I would, if I had to make a statue of Toni Storm, it would be that. But it doesn't mean it's my favorite. I liked Y2J. I liked Lionheart. Do I like the Learning Tree? No, Jericho is still a superstar.
Okay, how dare you compare Timeless Toni Storm with the Learning Tree?
I was trying to give you examples.
The Learning Tree.
Oh, I apologize. We are running long. But look, I don't like this iteration of Adam Page, but I understand what he has to go through. So I think Jeff Jarrett is a good Ken fodder for him, because I didn't really think Jeff Jarrett should have been at 9:30 p.m. But you know what? The match is going to slap anyway.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. I think Jeff Jarrett has had a bit of a renaissance here in recent months with AEW, and I'm glad to see it, because I was an old fan of his. Again, late period WCW fan back when he was calling everybody. Slap Nuts, as Holden Caulfield in the chat reminds us. Slap Nuts, what a great put down.
Was it?
Both the person who said it and received it feel stupid. Danny Cochran saying the end. Yep, 107.7. That's what I was shouting out. We get to the main event. Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, Konosuke Takeshita versus the Young Bucks and Okada. This is a fun one, action everywhere, but it ends, George, with Fletcher getting the win for his team. First, winning a tag team match that gives him a tag team championship opportunity. Now, winning a six-man tag in the main event of Dynamite. Fletcher, you doubted for so long. You were like, he's never going to win a match. Never going to happen. And now, on a win streak to rival the dead man at WrestleMania.
What the hell was that?
You never going to win, man.
I thought that was a pretty good George Ramoza impression.
Oh, yeah. I'm George Ramoza.
First off, I have
three voices. I can't do
that. Yeah. Like, watch this thing. He's hiding in his basement.
First off, we all know they ain't winning next week.
Do we?
I will bet money on the fact that the Young Bucks are going to retain against whatever they're called, Aussie Open or United Empire, whatever it is. And also, like, it's a tag match, which means Kyle Fletcher didn't even do all the work. He just won because he had Will Ospreay by his side. You think he's going to win by himself?
Bro,
he didn't.
It means nothing. This means nothing to the projection of how much they push Kyle Fletcher and how much he's been losing in these big matches.
Hey.
So, okay, I'll take you up on that bet, George. How about this? If he wins, then Flobo has to do the Mercedes.
No, dance. I'm not agreeing to this.
Flobo has to do the blue meanie dance.
What a deal for no, I'm not doing no.
Why don't you do like the D'Lo Brown dance?
I told you guys if you get $100 in super chats, I'll do it. And it's not happening, so sorry guys.
The D'Lo Brown, you love D'Lo Brown.
I do, but not on the air. You gotta pay me extra for that.
Wait, you literally had a segment once.
Yeah, I did. D'Lo
Brown appreciation.
That was a good segment, man. It went on for like 20 weeks, which is a lot longer than I thought was possible. But I'm not dancing with camera.
Jack Farmer is the Ryan Seacrest of Wrestling Inc. See, Flobo, I do get compared to Ryan Seacrest regularly.
Oh, Ryan Seacrest is the Jack Farmer of Kiss FM. Everything that he does.
He wishes. Jose, I want to get your name right. It's Topete?
Topete.
It's Topete.
Topete.
I said Topete last time, and you wrote it phonetically like Topete.
And it's Jose.
No.
Jose Topete. Yeah, that's what I say.
No, you got Topete.
Topete.
Topete. Why is it
Topete?
You are such a Ryan Seacrest, I swear.
Anyways, do you want to send roses to anybody, Flobo? No.
Do they still do that?
They do.
I heard it's fake.
It is.
It is, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Sorry on a pro wrestling podcast to let everyone know a certain program is fake. But, wow. Flobo, I've got a hypothetical question for you. On Draped in Gold, you always say, we always have a segment, and you ask me the guest general manager or general manager pick'em.
Sure.
I got a general manager pick'em for him. You're starting a new company, and you get one of these wrestlers from now, starting today, for the rest of their career. Okada or Fletcher?
As like my main guy or just a person on the roster?
Well, depending on how well you can build the roster outside of that, of course, you...
So I have my own promotion. I'm going to say Okada. And it, this Okada today, is it the Okada from 10 or 8 years ago? But I still think he has enough of as Joseph would say, facials to really lend a brand. So I'll pick Okada.
So Okada, again, older today.
Mm-hmm.
He's 36 versus Kyle Fletcher, 25. So Okada, you would have, let's say, at most 10 years, where Fletcher you'd have for 20 years is the difference there.
Right. But I need money now. I need money now. I need money next year. I need money the year after that. Okada can get me money now.
Don't you have a billionaire NFL owner dad?
Hey, that was not part of the hypothetical. if it's true. Me, I got coupons at Chick-fil-A. That's what I got.
I just thought, because the H stand, I thought that's it. I have big hopes for Kyle Fletcher. I think he's going to be you know, Holden Caulfield asks, Fletcher, is he, he's good, but is he great? I think Josh is great.
No. Only Jeff Jarrett was great. While he was on the NI Great Tour.
Well, yeah, was that 95?
As he spent his days working hard on the low.
Here's 94. The thing, Flobo, if you're great, or George, here's the thing. If you're great, you don't have to ask. Anyways, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Like, comment, share, subscribe. That's the show, Flobo. Final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Gotta work on that, George. I'm always impressed that jackass. Not even close.
It's pronounced Jose Topete.
Oh, he's got
it's pronounced Jose.
He's totally gonna key a car for this.
Jose, well, I love you. I just wanted to make fun of George.
Yeah, fair enough. Don't we all. Check me out on that X at Flobo Boys. And every Wednesday, I think, for the next couple of weeks, Jack and I get together to talk about NXT on a little show we call Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com.
Yeah, in fact, everyone really needs to tune in. You can check it out. Today's episode was fantastic. But next week might be our last episode. We don't even know if it's going to be the last episode, because the move to CW is going to really throw a monkey wrench into the machinery here. We're just going to have to see if the machinery is tough enough to grind up the monkey wrench, or if it's just like, whoa, this isn't what I'm built for. We'll find out. So tune in. It might be our last one. It'd be great if everyone tuned in and gave us some support for what could be our swan song. George Hermosa. Always great chatting to you on a Wednesday. Where can the world find you, what you're working on, and final thoughts?
I'm curious why it's going to be the last show. I don't think it's going to throw a wrench in anything. I think it's going to be just as good as ever. But I thought the show was it was good. I feel like everything's kind of on standby until the next 2 weeks. I think the next 2 weeks is really going to it's either not make or break, because one, we're going to hear hopefully finally a TV deal within a week. And two, we got Grand Slam. We got that 5-year anniversary show. So I feel like the next couple of weeks is really going to be pretty pivotal for AEW in the future, not just of the TV deals, but just in general of their programming as well. But yeah, overall, I thought it was okay. You can follow me at G Hermosa, GHERMOZA. You can follow my wrestling channel, The Wrestling Chatter, featuring a great interview with Buff Bagwell, from Mostly Jack Farmer. I made a little cameo with my, you know, action figure. So that was a little fun little interview. Talked about a little bit about Dark Side of the Ring, talked about who killed WCW, talked about him going back to the WWE or potential there. But a fun little interview nonetheless. And we got some more coming. Got a couple in the can that I can't wait to share with you guys, and hopefully more coming soon in the near future. But yeah, overall, thumbs up.
Yeah, I had a fun time chatting about this show. I thought it was a fun episode. It blew by quickly, so I enjoyed it. I want to thank everyone in the chat, as always. Steven, Carlos, Mr. Samoan, Danny, Mr. X, I should say. I was giving everyone just their first name. But if I say Mr. Danny, it sounds like I'm... Anyways, Holden, Caulfield, Andre, everyone else, thank you guys so much for joining us. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. As Flobo mentioned, I am on Draped in Gold every Wednesday, at least next Wednesday, to cover NXT. I'm on Wrestling Inc. every Monday and Wednesday covering Raw and AEW. And as George mentioned, I chatted with Buff Bagwell, one of my favorites. And look, we talk about all the serious stuff. We talk about your Dark Side of the Ring. We talk about his last match in WWE and everything that happened there. But also, I got to tell him, I'm trying to dress up like this fella for Halloween, but my arms aren't big enough. He actually gave me some advice. You want to hear what he said? Tune into the show.
Oh, that's a tease.
Yes. So talk to him about that. Talk to him about what version of Buff Bagwell is the Buff Bagwell that he would make a statue out of. Is it the one with the overalls? Is it the one with the little neck band? Which one is it? He tells us. Guess what? He got it wrong. I had to correct him. It was a little embarrassing, but
how did he get it wrong? Listen, Mr. Buff, way off base.
Yeah, no, well, that's kind of how.
Respectfully.
So you got to tune in to see that. Also, final thing, I put it down on that interview, and I'm putting it down here. I want real Buff Bagwell in the video games. I don't want just the pieces to make his character. I don't want just his taunts and his moves and the hat so I build it myself. This ain't IKEA. Don't give me the pieces to make me build it on my own. I want Buff Bagwell in the games, and I want everyone to join me on social media to make it happen. I want Buff Bagwell WWE 2K25. Let's make it happen.
You know, he got, I think he got announced for a little indie show out here in Southern California for December. So we might have to tell him in person.
Oh, well, I told him on the show too.
But what about Judy Bagwell? Will Judy be on the show in the games?
In the games, maybe.
Yeah.
But that does it for us. Everyone follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news and make sure to tune in to SmackDown on Friday. That does it for us. This is the time of the show where I hit end stream.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.